weather today in the greater Cincinnati area.
I love you so badly, I could...
They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Podcasting almost live.
Everything Digital.
Everything Digital.
The Everything Digital Podcast.
Alright, it's Sunday, January 16th, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, this is the Everything Digital Podcast. And this intro music is from Matthew Shell, and this is One Again. And hopefully I've got my overmodulation problem fixed, which seemed to be happening on the last podcast. I heard it there again. I had GarageBand's channel volume for the audio track here. I had it maxed out. And I think that was causing... a little distortion there. So it should be better now. We'll see how it goes. It's getting pretty late, but I'm trying to squeeze a podcast in, and got some good stuff lined up. And I meant to do it yesterday, but just got caught up in Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy. I usually am not a big video gamer, but the Star Wars games just are extremely addicting for me, and well, I am working on Jedi Academy right now, and probably about 3/4 of the way through it. So, alright, let's go ahead and get started with your 5 5-second news headlines. The Amazon.com founder Jeff Bezos is beginning construction of a spaceport on his ranch in West Texas. A new simian worm, Lasco.A, has been identified by the antivirus firm F-Secure as propagating via Bluetooth like the caber worm. Google recently unveiled the Mini, a hardware product that allows small businesses to add search features to their websites. And the iPod Shuffle has been named Macworld's Best of Show from its 2005 Expo, followed closely by the Mac Mini and the Radeon X800 XT. And Ofcom is exploring the possibilities of releasing its ultra-wideband, close-range connectivity technology with very little regulation. Those are the short headlines, and there are links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. Alright, so, moving on. Verizon users are suing over the crippled Bluetooth features in the Motorola V710. Verizon disabled file transfers between the V710 and any other device, so you can't actually download your pictures from your phone to your PC, which would pretty much make the camera pointless. But wait! You can still MMS them to your email, costing you whatever, 25 cents, which is what Verizon wants. So anyway, the V710 users argue that Verizon should allow any features supported or supplied by the phone's manufacturer, which is Motorola. And so... Also, Verizon is allowing users to attach Bluetooth headsets and laptop computers to their phones, which they argue is a sufficient use for the Bluetooth, and that they don't need any other features besides those. However, both those features involve connectivity with the Verizon network, meaning they both cost the user money. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess the users definitely have a right to sue over this, because, I mean, Verizon can't really stop people from I don't know the legality of this, but Verizon, it seems like, shouldn't be able to stop people from using the hardware the ways that it can be used for free. They can do whatever they want on the service side, but the phone itself, the actual device, should be something that the user buys and or maybe gets free because of some promotion, like with a plan. But it's the phone is the property of the user, and the user should be able to have the features they want on the phone and should be able to do what they want with the phone. But then the service can be Verizon, and they could say maybe they don't want you connected to their service while you're using Bluetooth in a certain way. They could say that, but they can't say that you just can't do this at all. Because, I mean, obviously, you buy the devices, and you should be able to use those devices to their full potential within your own home, and even if you're not connected to the Verizon network. So, we'll see how that turns out, but also, Samsung is developing a motion-sensitive cell phone. And this cell phone can respond to certain gestures made with it in your hand, meaning you can shake it twice to end a call or delete a message, and it will be called the SCH-5310, and it will be sold only in South Korea for the time being. Okay, so you've got a phone that if for some reason in public you're compelled to hold it up and start madly gesturing with it, the phone will respond. I don't know. It seems easier just to press a button. I mean, I know we're looking for new ways to design interfaces here and looking for something besides just a graphic interface and, pressing buttons to navigate the menus, but I really don't think people are going to be going to be in a crowd or in public where most people use their phones and are going to be wanting to be gesturing with their phone like they're trying to hit somebody. I mean, shaking the phone twice or I don't know. It's a cool technology, and it shows what we can do with phones and with user interfaces, but do we actually want to do it? Do the consumers actually want this kind of a new interface? Well, I guess we'll see in South Korea, but I really don't think so. I couldn't see it happening, and I wouldn't see why that would be any better of an interface or any better of a way to interact with the phone. Also, spray-on solar panels can use the power from infrared rays instead of just the power from visible rays from the sun, which means that they can actually absorb power and get energy from the sun on cloudy days. So that means that basically, anytime during the day, regardless of whether it's cloudy or not, this material can be sprayed on anything from clothing material to cars, and it will get energy. The developers hope to eventually create solar farms in deserts to solve the world's energy problems, and covering 0.1% of the Earth's surface with large area infrared solar cells could generate sufficient energy for the whole world. So definitely a promising technology here, and really changing the way solar panels work, because they were never really very efficient before. It's free energy and it's conveniently available energy, but what about when it's cloudy? So now we've got it, and the only thing is you can't get power at night, but you can get sufficient power in the daytime to, say, power a car on through the night. And it can also, it's a spray-on solar cell, So it can be put on almost any surface. So maybe looking at a revision to the Voltaic solar backpack, where it doesn't look so flashy and it doesn't stand out as much, but it still has the same features, but it's got a spray-on coating all over it, and lots of ways this could be used, and really going to revolutionize solar panels, and we'll see how it works out. All right, how about some non-RIAA music? Enough of me talking. Let's get some Gregory Morris Group. This is Baylight Lullaby.
Mr. Calico Jack, he was the king of disorder. They said his life was short, but the rope was shorter. But all the saucy breezes, she whispers lullabies to me. Havana smiles tonight, but a bit light. Take her chances. She took a couple of jacks. Now her belly dances. But all the saucy breathers, she whispers lullabies to me. Havana smiles tonight, but I'll be late. Never gonna let them bring me down. Never gonna break me. Never gonna let them take me in. Someone say that they can second guess all of my secrets. Better luck dealing in the devil's den. They really rocked the boat, and while they could not swim, all they sure could float. But all saucy breezes, she whispers lullabies to me. Havana smiles tonight, but a bit light. She likes to smack them down before she fire them. But all saucy breezes, she whispers lullabies to me. Havana smiles tonight, but I'll be late. Never gonna let them bring me down. Never gonna break me. Never gonna let them take me in. Some will say that they can second guess all of my secrets, but I love dealing in the devil's den. Smiles tonight, but I'll be late. way that they can second guess all of my secrets. Better luck dealing in the devil's den.
Circuit section here, getting some crackling. Not sure what that's about. Give me 1 second here. I'm going to pause it. Alright, there we go. I think I got rid of it. Hope all is well. Alright, got the circuit section. And going to give it a flip through. I didn't have a whole lot of time to get through this circuit section yet. I got everything but the last page, so bear with me here. Alright, a lot about, or this is in, oh no, this isn't actually by David Pogue. Usually he does state of the art. This is Bylene Hare, or Here, and it's about Apple price tags and how they're getting smaller. The Mac Mini and the iPod Shuffle, of course, is what they're referring to. And, you know, pretty much saying what happened at Macworld. And talking about how well-received it is in the business world that Apple is finally appealing to the lower end of the industry. For wireless, the beginnings of a breakout. Talking about the new features coming to cell phones. And video, music, high-speed internet, and more. All coming in 3G and the new 3G. And whatever technologies are... I mean, the cell phone world has so many technologies waiting to break out. And we'll see which ones dominate. All right. Chess players give check a new meaning. With games archived online, research on opponents can lend an edge. Well, that pretty much speaks for itself. And I didn't read that article. Didn't look extremely interesting to me, but maybe there's someone who plays chess out there that might find that interesting. All right. TV Rooms PC wants to be the center of all media. Talking about media center PCs, and they're gaining... prominence in the PC and home entertainment industries. And advertisers on Google are told to keep it proper. Google's AdWords program and how the people who, or the sites that advertise on that are required to keep their ads in proper English with no internet language and no shorthand or anything like that. See more on the wireless capabilities with a little side box about new cell phone gadgets and the Jabra BT800 headset, which looks wonderful. The design actually doesn't throw me. It looks a little boxy, but the specifications look great. And the interesting thing about this is it's a Bluetooth headset with a screen on it, so you really never have to take your phone out of your pocket. It's got an interface right there. You can see who's calling right on the headset. Now that means I think you have to take the headset off then. I don't think it would quite come out far enough for you to see it just on your ear, but you never know. I'd have to try one in person to see. A new crop of handsets ready for what's out there. Some new phones from LG, Sanyo, and Sony Ericsson. And their features. Alright. A story on LCD screens for computers. Comparing Sony, Samsung, NEC, and Apple. The Apple Cinema HD, the 30-inch LCD monitor at $3,000. Well above its competitors in price. Of course, it is 30 inches. and billed as the world's first high-resolution display of its size intended for PCs, the cinema also comes in 20 and 23-inch models, which, of course, are much more within the price range of any non-movie editor or graphic designer budget person. I don't know why you'd need 30 inches of display, but it sure looks cool. A flying crime fighter, some assembly required, and Southern California police are building UAVs, or unmanned aerial vehicles, that police officers can deploy at a crime scene to get an overhead perspective on what's happening. Alright, and here's the page I haven't read, the back page. For some reason, they've got the news watch back here. Don't know why, but let's see what's in it. Accessories. A portable rescue for cell phones that give out at the wrong time. It's like a mobile charger, and it looks pretty slim, too. Of course, they've got it demoed on, looks like a very old Nokia phone. It looks like it's phone-specific, because I know they don't all have universal charging plugs, so maybe there's some for different phones. Here we go. Offers connectors for phones by Motorola, Nokia, Samsung, Siemens, and Sony Ericsson. All right, they got it covered. So if your cell phone battery dies on you, mine doesn't really. I got a pretty good battery in my V600, which I like a lot, by the way. And I'm currently in the process of getting the show notes onto my OPML or the HTML version of the show notes, hoping to get it on my phone so that way I can browse through them on there. And I think I might just do it as a picture. But then once I have it on my phone, then I can take my iPod wherever I want to go and just do a podcast with the show notes there, wherever I am, and then insert the music later. So it's like a mobile studio with my phone and my iPod. Let's see, taking a teamwork approach to fend off internet intruders. Pest Patrol anti-spyware software, and you won't need it on a Mac. Only for Windows, of course. Spyware Eliminator, new approach to it. Swimmers, take your marks and music players too. Oregon Scientific is marketing a waterproof MP3 player complete with waterproof earbuds. So definitely if you're a swimmer, I'd look into that. Or look into, what's it called, the Lilypod. For the iPod, which I think is very cool. It's a waterproof case for the iPod. Of course, you can't control it anymore because it's inside this, this, like, chamber, this armor. And then I think all you get out of it is a headphone cord, and you can't really plug a remote in or anything, so that means you got to get out of the water, dry off, and open it up to if you hit a song you don't like. But definitely I don't think the demand for underwater gadgets is extremely high, but still, you know, you're in a pool or the shower or something, and you want music. A satellite connection for iPod reaches out to download radio. This looks promising. TimeTrax Technologies, the Washington company that created a stir last year when it introduced products that allow satellite radio subscribers to record programming to PCs, has followed up with a product that turns iPods into MP3 repositories for hundreds of channels of music and talk from XM and Sirius. The two satellite radio broadcasters. Of course, there are more, so I wouldn't say the two, but oh well. It's like it's a dock. You put your iPod into it, and it can schedule recordings directly onto your iPod from XM or Sirius. This looks great. Of course, you got to be subscribed to XM or Sirius. But wow, that's like podcasting for XM and Sirius. That's great. And then you got it right there on your iPod. Of course, when you sync it to the computer, then they're going to be gone because the computer overwrites the iPod and you can't get the songs off the iPod. But you can enjoy it while it's on the iPod. So that looks pretty good. Let's see what else. Now, if only we could do that with Wi-Fi, you know, just a simple little Wi-Fi connector for the iPod that would query an internet database and download new podcasts. That would be great. All right, let's see. Small external hard drive offers backup options plus room to move. Let's see, 60-gigabyte hard drive in, well, what looks like an extremely small case. Yeah. Clutter disappears as DVD merges with plasma TV, putting a DVD system in a plasma TV, just like it sounds. All in one. Gotta love simplicity. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay. And put that away. Back to my computer here, and wow, huh. I've been here a long time, already to 26 and a half minutes. Well, I'm going to stop it there and end with The Lasting from Joe Calandrio. Here you go. Some outro music. And feel free to post comments at everythingdigital.org or call 1-484-737-0669 and leave an audio comment. Yeah, you could sing a song or just talk. Either one. Not gonna happen. Alright. Okay. Other than that, I will see you on the next podcast.